Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Australia's hottest golfing podcast is Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
I thought I'll go and hit some balls. Go down to the range. Guess who's on the range?
Yeah, of course he is.
It's Tiger hitting balls.
I drive the golf cart up behind him. He doesn't see me. Yeah. And just plonk the cart there, start hitting balls. He turns around and looks at me and goes, he said, what the f*** are you doing here?
Talk Birdie to Me. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson just somewhere near the microphone. It's Hump Day with Scotty and friends, yeah. Dane Swan, Samantha Richards, and guest friend, Kev. Jack Watts. Hello, Jack. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for coming
great
in.
Great to be here, Ralphie. Great to be here, Swanee, Sam.
Ooh, thank those you. Sultry tones in my ears. Oh, nice. Got a voice for radio.
Well, a couple of things. So for doing this, I was listening to a couple of podcasts you've done first. Firstly, you have got a radio voice that's unbelievable.
I know.
And a head for radio too, Ralphie. Just say it, but...
Secondly,
thank you for that.
You've done a lot of very fucking serious podcasts. This isn't one of them.
We're not delving deep into our past trauma here, or maybe a little bit.
Well, if we do, it's only to set up some talking rubbish.
Perfect.
It certainly isn't down that bad. So what's life for you now?
Life's good. Life's good. I've got the swimwear business, Squash.
Yeah, I'll say thank you for bringing some in. I'll plug it on my socials, but some for me. Ralph, just didn't think Ralph is you not your target demographic you're looking for?
Ralphie, I'm waiting for the new stuff to come in for you, mate.
So are you bringing in a line of short fat fucks?
you look like a Speedo guy.
Yes. We're actually thinking of bringing out the G-strings.
Are you a Speedo guy?
I've got a teenage daughter. What do you reckon she would say?
So you're a yes to embarrass her. Is that right?
I would be happy to.
Now you're a pants man?
Oh, that's a whole new area. So, Squash, right? I get it off the top. So, what are we doing here?
Yep. So, it's a sort of lifestyle brand. Yeah. Started it when I was playing footy 7 years ago with a couple of mates.
Why Squash? What is
Squash? It's a random word. Our designer, Stubby, you'd like him. Tats everywhere and a bit of an interesting cat.
Just say it, Sam. What do you reckon? Is the microphone not there or what?
We're a professional.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Do you need me closer? Do you need me?
It's better now.
It's better now. Okay. Yeah. He was on a tram one day and he said it was jam-packed and his private parts just got sort of squashed against him. So that's where the name came from.
What's that, big testes or a big length? How do you spell
S-K-W-O-S-H.
.com, I imagine.
Could he do the fruit bat at a local footy club?
Yeah, I think he probably could.
The wristwatch?
Yeah. I've seen some things, to be honest. He's got that hidden folder of his.
Dane, you still got Bella?
It's on pause. I've got too much going on.
No, but I'm just saying, Dane never said he was the brains behind the organisation. Yep. Where do you fit in amongst
I'm the brains behind nothing.
Certainly not the brains. Certainly not the brains. Probably at just a smaller scale to what Swanee does, really. Right. Just connections, network, try and get it out there. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, sell my body for a couple of reels on Instagram, which is a bit embarrassing, but you've got to do what you got to do, don't you?
Oh, you do. You've got to keep food on the table, don't you?
Whatever pays your bills.
Exactly.
So this is your full-time, or have you doing
everything? Yeah, full-time. Bit of a grind lately, to be honest. It's been a bit tough in retail for the last 12 months. But
we'll get out there and buy some, everyone. Yeah. 40 listeners.
So can you explain today what full-time work is? Because he started a job last year.
Well,
one day a week.
Well, full-time, I've managed to sort of work Fridays. I get Fridays off.
Yeah, half your luck.
Monday to Thursday.
What do you mean half your luck? Have you ever worked a Friday?
Friday. What am I doing for this Friday? Yeah, I got a little bit on this Friday. I got to do some. I got to
take a group into the box and have a few beers at the footy.
That's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
I work fucking all hours. I'm no 9 to 5, man. I work. I got to do some recording for Kia for Mitsubishi Chadston.
Get them right.
Yeah,
get
well, I was up. In a Kia. Now I'm in Mitsubishi with Gavin and Michael down there. So I got to do some filming for their ads or something like that. Then I got something else on Friday afternoon. I'm giving back. Yeah, I'm speaking to some people.
There you go.
Yeah, it's Friday night, so.
The old shift work, sort of doing your own thing, it's pretty tough, Ralph. You know,
it is.
Be organised. You got to be on the.
Got to have your own Google Calendar.
Exactly.
Mate, you got to be self sufficient, which I'm not very good at.
And you have to balance having three kids as well.
Well, also, I'm a full time babysitter Monday and Wednesday. So today, what?
Sam doesn't cope well with babysitting your own kids.
Well, what do you mean Mondays?
Babysitting your own kids.
I do. So. They're on their own now, so...
They're on their own.
So you're meant to be full-time babysitting now.
Yeah, they're on their own now. They'll be right.
They'll be right.
A couple of toys in front of them. A
couple of 14-month-olds.
You got three or a couple of squeezies, and they're good to go.
See that lady
Paw Patrol.
See that lady in America just got done. She's gone to jail for life without parole.
What for?
32-year-old mother left her child home in Ohio...
It's 3 hours.
12 months.
If they can't figure it out then, exactly. What hope have they got?
She left her 10-month-old at home in a playpen for 10 days while she went on a holiday to Puerto Rico.
Well, 10 days is a bit excessive.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
Fucking relax, Sam. Okay. This is 3 hours.
She said she had a lot on. She had a hard life.
Yeah, mate. Oh, listen, I'm responsible enough to be home by 10:30. They nap at 11 so they can walk around the playpen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tire themselves out.
Yeah, exactly. Then I'll change them and put them in bed. Now we're good to go. Then I'll get to sit down and watch the first March Madness game.
It's a good life, huh?
It's tough. It's tough.
And here's the other thing about you doing this, Jack. So you don't know Dane real well, do you?
No, I was just looking back at our text thread. Yeah. Huh. I think it was back in sort of 2015. We might have just come across each other on a night out. And there was a few sort of no replies. How are you going? You still up? I managed to go home at a reasonable hour. That was about the last
9 years ago. Jeez.
Well, Dane's not real good on the reply. Sometimes we have to go, Dane, I will send a welfare check if you do not reply.
Considering it's glued to my hand, I know I'm pretty horrible.
But was this part of Dane reckons, you know, you talk about recruiting and something. Dane reckons he's been a big list manager over the years.
Oh.
Because?
I don't know where you're going with that.
The Albion? You look out for a lot of lists.
Oh, yeah. No, Osborne, yeah. Yeah, we have had some through the days. Yeah.
Look. I wasn't ever a huge sort of get out and about at the club sort of thing.
Right.
It was more, you know, it was probably more back at
houses,
back
yeah,
at some houses and whatnot. But
I like to do both.
Yeah, mix it up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, both nightclub then someone's house. Yeah,
but I got your number through these contacts, and I was delighted because we've had some real good guests on the show. But they've been either from my contacts in media days or Dane's that you play with, Samantha's. People who we don't really know, they haven't been as keen to be part of the show, Dane, for some reason.
Fuck knows why. No, I'm not sure why.
So we're delighted you weren't worried about trashing your brand coming
not
in.
Not at all. Not at all. If anything, we need all the help we can get out of Swash. So, you know, hopefully there's a couple of Collingwood supporters out
absolutely.
There. Yeah, absolutely. D's,
man. Yeah.
Jump on the website and buy some shorts.
Well, let's go to the obvious. So, speaking of which, because you mentioned the Pies, that's your first game against the Pies.
Yep.
I did look at the vision. You were one of the ones tackling Jack.
Well, I'm not. Once again, why would I waste my energy tackling someone? My job was to get the ball. Tackling wasn't a big strength of mine, Jack.
Same here, Swanee.
Exactly. Here. So I left that to the role players.
Heath.
We weren't role players, pardon?
Heath and Nick, well, I think, were two of them.
Yeah.
Who else can you remember piling on top of you?
Can you remember?
Honestly, that little moment gets drummed up so much. Like, it probably happens 20 times a game, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a slight bit of extra, you know, oomph in it from the boys. But, you know, the fact we lost by 70 points and then I lost the next one by 80 and then I lost the next one by 90 and then, you know, for the next 7 years we lost by 10 goals every week. That was probably more the traumatic experience.
Yeah, but I've been a D supporter all my life.
Mm.
Top five when you nailed it. Top five games I've been to was you on Queen's birthday too.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. A little bit of revenge there.
I'm not sure if you enjoyed it as much as I did. I was more invested.
It's funny, like, you know, that's one good memory. You know, Swanee's got premierships and Brownlow medals and we've got
I've got a couple.
But yeah, it was you know, we had a couple of good wins there at times.
But more to the point, that was symbolic probably of two or three games at the time where all of a sudden this side isn't really shit.
Mm.
And it was a revelation on our side of the fence.
Yeah.
But you went through the worst times of it when you were really shit.
Yeah. Oh, we were shit. I can remember playing a game against you boys, like it was pre-season. I think you're coming off a flag. And we got you done in a NAB Cup something or other round one. And we're going around like we've won the flag. You know? And I remember Daisy and Swanee, these boys like literally laughing out on the ground. Like, I don't reckon you got out of second gear and we've got them by maybe 3 points in a thriller.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was our biggest win for 5 years, you know, beating the reigning premiers in a NAB Cup round one. So, you know, it was a tough, certainly a tough sort of first 7 years, I reckon. Yeah. And then just as we started to turn around... Actually, I think you boys fucked us. One year that we were about to play finals, you were out of finals.
Yeah.
And we just needed to, you know, be somewhere thereabouts in the last round. We were playing Collingwood. You guys beat us. We had no reason to play well, nothing, and they beat us. And then we had to watch Adelaide play West Coast over there, and I think it was one of the teams, they rested half their squad. And we needed them to win by 24, and they won by 23 or something like that. And we missed finals by the lowest percentage ever, so...
He's all sitting together or having a beer ready?
Sitting at home, ready to go, a couple of mates, and as soon as it was done, it was...
That was your last game for the Deez, was it?
I think so.
2017.
Yeah, I think so. We just missed, and then off I went.
Did you enjoy your time at the Deez overall, or you look back at it with good memories, or?
I mean, it's sort of like I split it up into like footy.
Yeah,
was shit.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, I just never had that that experience of like playing meaningful games and looking at finals. Shit, we're a chance here and. You know, it was pretty tough, and it was just, you know, every preseason we're getting slammed because we were shit the year before, and we've got to be tougher and harder and all this kind of shit. But then, you know, the journey and the friends you make and the, you know, the connections and relationships, and, you know, I loved it. And
of course. Look back
on it with fond memories, but, you know, it's just, it was, you know, it's certainly a very different experience to a Steel Sidebottom and the way he talks about his footy club and, you know, it's not that love for the game. You know, I've sort of probably lost the love of the game and the, you know, appreciation for it just because of you know, how the start of the career went.
That's a long time for someone who's so good at something to be a part of something so shit and feel like, no, but do you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't play footy, but when you first become a mum, you can't get anything right. And you used to be so good at your little life. And then you're like, what the fuck? Nothing is going right. And that must have been what it felt like for you. You were such a good footballer, obviously. You went very high in the draft.
Yeah.
And then you went.
Couldn't go much higher, I don't think.
No, correct. Correct.
We'll get to that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, to go from being so good at what you were doing, and it was like second nature to you, you knew you were good because you went number one.
Yeah.
Then to be so shit for so long, that must have. Been really tough.
Yeah, it's like that's spot on, and it's funny because you are you know, you're the best junior and blah blah blah, and everyone's the best junior that, you know, goes on to make AFL sort of thing. But and then you get to a stage where you're playing against guys who are like, this is their livelihood, and everyone's fucking good at AFL level, and I'm meant to be the best, and I wasn't the best, and so then no matter what you do, it's not enough, and then we're getting done by 12 goals every week, so it was sort of just a. You know, a bit of a melting pot of a whole lot of ingredients that didn't work out very well. And then when it goes on for so long, you know, you sort of think you're the rebuild and you're meant to get back up there. And we put all this, you know, effort into all our young players and got rid of all our experience and all our good, you know, older guys. And then we were just shit for longer. And, you know, and then they bring in a new coach and that one doesn't like you and he wants to smash you. And then you bring in another one and he likes you, but you're still struggling and... You know, it's
need a circuit breaker.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was done for like my last 5 years, and then you know, it was the trade. It's like, let's try something different, take the pressure off, go somewhere else.
You must be really low to want to go to Adelaide.
Well, I actually loved Adelaide, to be honest.
It's a great place.
Pardon?
It is a great place. I've had good memories there.
No, no.
Some of the best street talks were ever.
Yeah, no. I like it for a weekend.
Yeah.
Beautiful beaches.
Yeah,
it got me out of trouble for a little bit, and you know, but it was a nice change. It really was, and it took the pressure off. And Port were a bit more of a senior, you know, had more senior players, bit of a better list, and there was just less pressure. And I was like, fuck, this is what it can be like. And then I had a bit of a mishap and fucked up, and then that all got out, and then I snapped my leg and dislocated my ankle, so that was pretty much the end of it.
So
just as things were sore, there was a little light at the end of the tunnel. We just thought,
so you know, I said we'll go near some places that, but we're not really going there. Did you ever have to do an apology that someone else wrote for you? Because that's one of our favourites on this pod. Just put out a statement.
I don't know. My big one was sort of pretty big, and so I was just shut down, like stay quiet, because you know, there was a whole lot in the media, but they couldn't actually name me, and so then if I said something that's me admitting to, you know, whatever it was, the drugs and the girls and all the rest of it, so
all the fun stuff.
So I think I just stayed quiet. Paulie Connors, my manager, he was just on it and kept me quiet.
Is he still your manager? Do you still have much to do with him?
Not as much. Play golf and have fun. But, you know, I'm not really doing all that much.
So after our first podcast went a bit pear-shaped, we come back with the second podcast, Cummings out, Samantha Richards in. Just read out on the pod, please, what Dane's reaction was to apologies.
Former Collingwood champion Dane Swan is back with a new podcast and is still refusing to apologise.
Yeah.
What about this time?
Well, I just don't refuse to apologise about anything because, also I'm happy to, if I'm wrong, I'm happy to apologise to the, if I do you wrong, I'm sorry, but I just don't understand why people apologise to people that I don't give a fuck about. Why do you have to apologise to Barry from Footscray who has no fucking life?
For the rest of my life than apologise to people I don't give a fuck about.
Well, I would. Maybe not McDonald's. I like Hungry Jack's better, or KFC, but I just baffles me why people send out apologies to the world. Or I'm not. I apologize to the person that I fucked over or I did wrong to, but I don't know why you have to get on Twitter or Instagram and post a big fucking sookie message that I've let everyone down. No, you haven't.
It's a good point. Maybe, you know, the club's members and whatnot. Yeah. You sort of owe them.
But I don't accept people's apologies. Ooh. Well, if they write, I'll say, well, no, I don't accept it.
Yeah.
Well, no. So I'm not accepting that apology. So go back and give me something better or unapologise because, one, you don't mean it, and two, you probably haven't read it.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, that they don't really mean. They're told to say this.
Exactly. We're here. We'll type something up for you and you just post it on your Instagram. They probably haven't even read it. It's copy and paste and away you go.
One of the things we've often said, you're the perfect person to ask, is that, like, when Richmond were going good, there was a phone in the room, Dusty Martin grabs it and says to Jack Higgins, it's for you, and everyone cracks up laughing. And, yeah, in other words, humour is really important. We saw Collingwood smile their way through last season.
Yeah.
Isn't humour really important when you're going shit, but as soon as anyone has a laugh, everyone's straight on you going, oh, they're not taking it seriously.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's funny because I think every club is, you know, these days it's all about, like, we've got to create an enjoyable environment and everyone loves each other and whatnot. But when you've lost eight in a row, that goes out the window.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's so much when you're winning games and you can come in and everyone's having a laugh, no worries. Like, I remember, you know, when we were going shit house, it's like if you miss a massage by 5 seconds, we're all down the beach at Kirkwood Road at 4 a.m.
That's horrible.
Whereas the boys winning the flag, like, they can rock in hungover and whatever. It's like, we're winning. Who cares? Yeah. So it's like this. It's this tough balance of you know, creating standards to improve, but then also, you know, like giving guys the confidence to be themselves and be relaxed and come in enjoying themselves, so that they do get the best out of themselves, sort of thing. So,
And footy was a lot different back when we were playing. Like back then, you could call someone like a weak cunt. Yeah. Like your coach could go, "You fucking weak cunt," and I'd belittle you for 10 minutes, and you'd be like, righto, looks like I've got to do better. Mate, they did that now.
Yeah.
Mate, the kid would go crying and like the coach would go to jail.
The coach would have to do apologies to people he don't give a fuck about.
He'd get, you know, he'd get lashes. Like, you know, like you just can't treat him. So like, and, you know, whether it's right or wrong, but all the clubs seem to have success now. The ones that smile and enjoy and, you know, all that connection, you know, connections are very, very overused word, but that and they like smile and they love each other and they, you know, this kumbaya kind of stuff where back then it was like you were fearful of your coach. Like you didn't want to come in and like you didn't want to fuck, you wanted to play well because you didn't want to get a spray. Where now they're allowed to make a mistake and allowed to make two. So, you know, where Jack probably wasn't and the media, you weren't as a number one player, you're not allowed to make a mistake because they're like, well, there's so much pressure on the first. I was 58, so I could do what I like. I did do what I like and I fucked up heaps, but. Like, as a pick one, you're under so much pressure back then where you're not sort of, I would imagine you're not cuddled like a pick one now and you looked after, you're like, well, you're the fucking best player in the draft. You want to start playing like it or you're going to get fucking hammered. And then the supporters and, like, everyone just gets on top of you and then it's just a snowball effect.
So on that topic, Dane mentioned it the other day when AFL privileges you get as a player that you probably don't, you're not as aware of until you retire. Dane went through a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
But one of them, pick one v pick 58, Dane said he got better looking as soon as he was drafted.
No, that's
and pick one, is that the same case?
Oh, look, I was doing all right beforehand.
Well, I wasn't. Nah, look.
I think Swanee probably got better looking as he started winning brown lines.
No fucking doubt, absolutely. Yeah. That's why I tried to succeed, because I was like, if this footy thing goes, I'm fucked. So I've got to keep fucking, I've got to keep playing well. And the better I got, the better looking I got.
Yeah. Well, how good were you at school?
Footy wise, or
no, they're just the school bit of school.
Academic. Oh, look, reasonable. Yeah, I was on an academic scholarship, and then as that sort of, you know, started to dwindle and the sport started to take over, they said, "Oh, you'll be right."
I just missed out on the academic scholarship. Yeah.
No, I was reasonable. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but as it didn't probably what was the counselor again? What they say you'd be
mortician.
Good at?
That's legit. Yeah, that's legit.
So that's what they said.
Yeah, so we're good in a funeral home.
Were you higher than that?
I show no emotion.
Oh, my goodness.
Did your teachers give you more ambition than
that?
Yeah,
look, I think they were hoping for maybe a bit more than that.
But what's that teacher doing now? Are they a pie supporter?
Well, fuck if I know. Well, I don't know. Hopefully still not guiding kids.
Hey, they make good money, don't they? In the morgues?
The morgues.
You'd want to.
Yeah, I'll walk, be around dead bodies. Lucky I'm not necrophiliac, but... I've never tried it, but you know, I'll try anything once, Samantha.
Because we've got guest friend Jack Watts, we don't have to call the episode "I'm no necrophiliac," so that's all right.
Well, I didn't say I'm not one because I don't.
I'm
giving it a go, so I don't want to, you know. So what?
I'm just like.
Can't just yuck like anyone else's yum.
That way, exactly.
We kind of look for like catchy titles, and I write down key moments that happened for show notes. I don't think. We've just decided we don't have to call it "I'm no necrophiliac," and I'm probably not going to put anything about necrophilia in our show notes because it's associated with Jack Watts. Oh.
We don't want to trash your brand, Jack.
No, yeah, exactly.
And the other part about
put some squash shorts on them and fantastic.
Away you go.
Exactly.
Sorry, Jack.
This will shock you. I've never felt like I was the sort of most physically imposing sort of person. But you get pick one. You're going well at school. You're a star player. You're number one. Did you have to stand next to Nick Natanui afterwards? Because they give you the flats no matter how good, well built you are.
He had a lot over me in the beginning, and then he had a lot over me during the 12-year career.
Never mind that.
Look, he was a legend, actually. I had a big draft party the day we got drafted. And
did you know you were going one?
Yeah, I knew I was going one a couple of days before, I think. But him and Dan Rich and a few others, they were all with Paul Connors as well.
Yep.
So they all ended up coming back to my place. We had a big piss up. They ended up, I think Nico ended up going seeing some bird that I knew in my bed. And I went and I stayed at a mate's place. And my mum's walked into my room to wake me up in the morning.
Jack, you've changed. You've changed a bit.
You look a bit different. And he'd actually missed his flight home to Perth and they had to get him up. And so he's one of the great guys.
He's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that is gold.
It was tough to get away from that comparison.
That'll go into
shame.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, magnificent. Who else was in your draft year at the D's?
Well, we had Sammy Blees.
Yep.
James Strauss.
Was Liam Jarrow in your first year?
He was, yeah.
Jarrowcane.
Yeah, the Jarrowcane.
How good talent was he?
Oh, my God. I mean, as good as you'd ever see, really. I think he averaged like 3 or 4 goals a game when we were getting done by 15 goals every week, you know, for his first 40 games or something.
It was a freak, and,
you know, could have, yeah. But it was incredible, like just the difference in culture. And
I was going to ask you, so, and I'm not self-inserting, but the first...
Ishua.
Well, Coterie, go D's behind the place. But we had a Brownlow function, and they put a player on each table. I'm on, Liam Jarrett's been put on our table. And I couldn't understand a word he said, which is on me, not him. But I just thought, where have you come from? And so you talk about, we just mentioned about, you know, players, things have changed about looking after players. I would say assume things have changed in looking after the Indigenous players more, because he would have just come from somewhere so different. Melbourne would have been another universe to him.
Exactly. I don't even know what you could really, you know, it's such a big change from, you know, he was out in a rural country in the middle of Australia and, you know, basically living off the land with his, you know, people, and to come into the big smoke of Melbourne and, you know... I think English was his fifth language or something. They speak a bunch of different languages up there, and
that's been in our case.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah, but you know, he was incredible in the way he tried to adapt, but in the end, the pull of your family and his, you know, his culture, it was just so different. And I totally understand that, if it's, you know, and if it's something you're not enjoying, like, why would you stick it out? And you know, and so he went back, but. Yeah, he was a special, special talent, that's for sure.
What did you notice about the development of looking after the Indigenous players like that? Because at the time you had Matty Whelan, who became who now works at the club, and Aaron Davey and some other really good... Neville Jetta. So how'd that progress as far as understanding?
It was pretty amazing, like, even just for myself, you know, the education around it and learning. Like, Nev was probably the one for me, because he was in my draft as well.
Yep.
And he sort of really took up that role of just educating... the whole club, you know, in a way of like, because fuck, we're all pretty naive, let's be honest, unless you've done a shitload of work and educated yourself and lived, you know, with the Indigenous culture or whatever you might have done, but unless you've done some of those things, you've got no idea really. And we had this amazing sort of education session where they you know, we got an Indigenous guy in, and he sort of asked the group, where do you think you are on the level of, you know, understanding of, you know, Indigenous history and all the rest of it? And, you know, a few guys, 4s and 5s and 6s out of 10. And this guy goes, oh, I'm probably at about a 3. And you guys are thinking you're at a 6 or 7. And, you know, it was just so sort of mind-blowing. And, I guess the way of that the club tried to help and make, you know, these guys feel comfortable. Did it evolve over the years? Yeah, I think it was just, you know, with the players that were there, they probably took the, you know, took the torch, Nev off Matty Whelan and Flash, and, you know, just to try to make it a more understanding environment for what these guys have been through, you know, maybe why they feel the way they feel about certain things. You know, it's like anything. The more you can understand what someone's been through and why they feel the way they do, you're going to be able to, you know, relate a bit better. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a sort of ever-evolving, you know.
One of the other young players, when you started a couple of years after, but Max Gorn, who's now a great of the club and a premiership captain, but he took a while to adapt, probably Dane Swan style, just sort of eased his way into professionalism of AFL.
He did. Yeah, I think probably like similar sort of characteristics. I don't know Dane and how he, you went about it training-wise or whatever, but... I know you
wasn't a great trainer.
I know you have all the fun. Like I know you sort of say that. Oh, I didn't like training. I didn't do this and whatnot. But I think deep down, there's probably like this dogged determination and competitiveness.
Game day, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Gorney may be a bit different. Like he was always a very good trainer, right. And like he loves being the best, and he loves discipline. And he did two or three knees before he got in, so he knew like. I think if you do a big injury early on, it sort of teaches you how hard you have to work. But it is sort of surreal to think, I guess like we sort of grew up together. I was always, the gun kid, and this guy's like this weird alien looking thing. And you get to the end of our careers and I'm like the nobody hack who sort of struggled, and Gorney's a premiership captain who's going to be, go in the Hall of Fame of the AFL.
It's a touchy subject here. So.
How good would you have to be straight in the Hall of Fame the year after you retire?
I've got no idea how that all works.
Nah, it's all politics.
Hey, you haven't.
It's a touchy subject. Yet? No, I haven't. No.
It's got to come.
Brett Harvey, for instance, straight in.
Is that right?
But. I told you, just don't count your games, make your games count. Like, if you're looking at award per game, like,
which you do.
Yeah, well, every now and then, only for this podcast. So, Gorney did a knee. That was a big incident for him to learn about. I got arrested. So, that was...
Very similar.
Well, that was the turning point with me, Jack said, fair work. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, very similar.
Oh, that's good.
How did the leadership group, in quotation marks, take it when was it Sean Wellman who spotted Gordy having a dart at the weight training?
Yes. it was Welly, or it was Kyle Cheney, or it was Cole Garland. The story sort of changes. But I think Gorney just said, he had a couple left from the weekend, and he thought, I better get rid of these before I get to training. So he's just
And they're expensive.
Yeah, exactly. They can't go to waste. Yeah, can't just chuck them out. And that was sort of right in the middle of, when we were in the depths of our despair. And so poor Gorney, he was head down, bum up for a few months after that. I think he was like in rehab, not even training. And, it was his first year, second year, something like that. And, cold morning out to Casey. Yeah. Get one in you.
Sucker banger.
Warm the cockles up. Warm the cockles up. Yeah.
Your dad coached you, is that right?
He did back in the day. Yeah, a couple of years. Yeah, he was... He was always very sort of supportive and came to every training and came, never the coach. And then our coach at the time was sort of had enough, I think, and he took the mantle for a year or two. I don't know if we ever won with him, but we had to have, surely.
Was he direct in his feedback to you?
Nah, he's much more of a lover.
Right.
Yeah. He was sort of more of a he would go home and like write four pages for every 12-year-old kid, like, this is what you got to get better at, and this is, and like he was pretty direct in for me, like, he would always just say, look, if you want me to treat you like these 95% of the kids, I can do that and be nice and whatever, but if you want to be up here, I've got to tell you these things, and I've got to be hard on you. What do you want me to say? Oh, you always want to be the best and you always want to be up there, so it was always, and I'd crack the shits all the time. I'd come off, I've had 30, kick four, and he's saying that I need to, mark the ball better or whatever. It's like, come on, give me a bit of love.
Did you need to man up and tackle ball?
No. Not when
you're the best junior, mate. Yeah. Don't worry about that shit.
You don't touch that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Dane's dad was a VFA legend. Mm-hmm. Tell Jack the story about when your dad tried to give you direct feedback.
Well, I was most young teens, you think we know better, and we think we're invincible and we're... know it all. I know we don't want our parents to tell us anything. So, a bit like you, my old man wasn't a big rant and raver, like not at all. He wouldn't come to me a quarter time and, don't worry about them, just focus on yourself. But one day I must have been being pretty lazy, and under 16 I must have been pretty lazy out in the ground, and just, just playing in the mud or something like that. And he was yelling at me for about 10 minutes, and I had enough. So, I sat down, crossed my leg and stuck my fingers in my ears while the ball went around me. So... it was for about 5 minutes, so I think he realised then it probably wasn't the way to break through.
And you wonder why tape is a pain in the ass, inverted commas. They say kids are vessels of karma, Dane.
Yeah, that's the twin girls.
I like the lateral thinking, which is very similar to Dane in this way. So your invention that you're trying to get through is non-sexual Tinder, is that right?
Can I say that again? Non-sexual Tinder.
Don't you want a Tinder app where people can go for
Have you heard me talk about this?
I have heard you talk about this.
More just about friendship and connectivity. And
so you swipe right just for a chat?
For a friend. For a hike, for a run.
It's 1,000,000% that turns sexual. Non-sexual, sexual fucking Tinder.
No, I just, I love making new friends. I love people. And I just find the whole sort of Tinder dating apps thing drives me insane because it's like...
You single?
I'm started to see someone now. It's sort of...
Situationship.
Yeah, situationship. Situationship.
That's what the young kids call it.
No, I'm aware, Dane.
Well, okay. Yeah, I'm just letting you know.
No. I don't know. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. You know, you can meet like-minded people and have some fun and that you don't... Look, I'm not being arrogant, but a lot of if I try to talk to a girl and say or even just a group of people, look, sometimes they want to sleep with me or they want to do this or they want to have more than that. And it's like,
good for you.
What if I don't want that?
Exactly. And then woman.
And then I'm the bad guy.
What if I just want to play tennis?
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see how
you
goes.
Say you're not just male meat.
Exactly. I want to be treated like a person.
I have a great personality. I want people to see it. I want to go for walks and hikes and talk about the world and philosophical things.
A bit like this. How beautiful is this?
Exactly.
Well, I don't want to sleep with any of you, but we're having a good time.
I'll cross that off my list then.
People
I'll wait till you're dead.
We don't.
Oh boy!
Could you enjoy the D's premiership?
Yes, I could. I could. The year I left, great little change of subject there, Ralphie. Well done.
Where else could you go?
The year I left, they made a prelim, and I was thinking, "Fuck! If they go on and win this thing, I think I was on a boat over in Europe or something." I was just
worst place to watch.
I didn't watch a thing. I just said, if they win this, I'm going to either jump off this boat while it's going in the middle of the night, or
you could have watched from about the 2-minute mark of the first quarter against the Eagles.
Well, exactly. So it was funny. I was with Jack Trengove, I think at the time, and we checked it, and he said they were 80 points down or something, and I was just like, as bad as that is, you breathe a sigh of relief because fuck me, if 10 years of shit and then they go and win a flag the year after you leave, you're like, it is definitely all me.
We had another number one draft pick in here late last year, Brent Delidio.
Yeah.
He's probably got the worst of
them. Yeah.
I reckon that's the worst. And then Jonesy probably second.
Yeah.
Because he was in the team and then in the squad. But at least you had a little bit of
gap. I had some leeway, And I, by the time that had gone, I think, when did they win it? I was...
21.
21.
Yeah.
I think I was done maybe.
Yeah.
So... it's just like you just want your mates to, thinking of Harmsy and Brayshaw and Petrarca and Oliver and Gorney and these boys winning a flag. It was pretty awesome.
Yep. Where'd you watch it from? Were you back here yet? Or were you locked in jail?
It was actually, it was lockdown. We had about 50 people around at mine. And I remember...
I'm just Googling statute a little
bit. Yeah. It was funny because I'd sort of, I hadn't had a great run with media and whatnot, so I was like, "Look, you can all come round, but let's keep it in house." And I was pretty fucked at the time. And remember Hayden Burbank, the guy from Morris Jones, and he got done for going over there and blah blah blah. Anyway, this was a couple of weeks later, and someone at the party was FaceTiming him, and he comes over and he goes, "What's he?" It's me, Hayden, or something. And I'm just thinking, if this gets out and there's a fucking FaceTime of 50 blokes, me sitting around a table watching this flag, come on. But anyway, we got away with that one, which was nice.
Very good. And so how much space do you need before being able to just be a supporter and just being able to relax, do you reckon?
That's a really good question. Fuck.
So how old are you now? 32? 32.
Yeah. 32. I just don't enjoy the footy all that much.
Yeah.
And whether that is because of what I went through and because I, you know, didn't have a great time or whatever, but yeah, it's interesting. Like, I've probably seen, you know, I've been to Jonesy's 300th and Gorney's 200th and Steely's 300th. Mm. They're the three games I've been to since I finished. And then watching it, I reckon I've watched another four games in total. So, you know, I'd rather watch the NBA. I'd rather watch the NFL. I get up every Sunday morning, watch the F1s like a maniac, golf, you know.
You going Sunday?
I'm going Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got very lucky. Mel, do you remember Mel from Paul Connors? Mel Ober. She went over and works for Mercedes.
Okay.
She got me into F1s, you know, 5 years ago, and then actually went over to the Hungarian Grand Prix. We met Toto Wolff. We met all the boys. Yeah,
what was Hungary like?
What a guy.
Hungary.
What did they speak?
Yeah, it was pretty Mexican? Special. I don't remember much of it, but yeah, so we're going there. But yeah, I just love other things a lot more than I love
football. Who did you support as a kid?
I was born in Sydney, so I sort of went for them initially, and then no one really. Like, once I got to sort of 10, and I just watched all the guns, you know, West Coast and Brisbane before that, and Essendon before that.
You weren't a mad footy supporter as far as club.
As far as club, I didn't really go for anyone. Yeah,
well, it was easy for you to be neutral when you got in.
Yeah.
Just a couple of you mentioned that you've mentioned. So were you good mates with Steel Side Bottom?
Yeah, so Steely, we played like under 12s Vic together.
Yep.
And then I don't know why we sort of, stayed reasonable mates, but he's just one of the great blokes, isn't he? So
very good.
Dane put him in his off-field team of the century.
Oh, is that right?
Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. No. It doesn't surprise me at all. He's probably quieting down a touch now.
Yeah, but once he gets going, he's very good. Yeah, and once he's allowed. Yeah.
He's one of those guys that I reckon, like, you know, the ones that turn into absolute pests and like you just can't deal with. Like, he's not one of them.
He's very, very funny. He's very funny. Yeah. He's a good man to be on the bend with.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great bender.
Petrarca, have you seen his development? Obviously, you were there in the ground floor.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, you know, my first couple of years, he's struggling and he's this and he's that. And he's, you know, all of a sudden he's the best player in the comp.
What do you think of his boots on the weekend?
I didn't mind them, the LTNs. I didn't mind them. Are they a bit sort of out there for everyone? I don't know.
Yeah, man. I was a black boot man, so they're a bit much for me. But if you play like he plays, you can wear whatever you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And, it's more his cooking that has me concerned, but, you know, whatever.
He's making a fortune.
Yeah, exactly. And I say that to everyone. It's like, fuck, I used to turn down $5,000 gigs because, it can't be fucked. I want a night on the couch.
He hasn't got a cooking TV show, though, does he?
Sorry to buddy.
Or someone.
He used to turn down gigs, Dane.
Yeah, no.
Could you imagine that?
No, I can't. I can't.
I mean, Swanee.
Well, I'll get you back out with me. We'll come up with a show for us.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. That could be dangerous,
we'll get back out there. Yeah. We'll get the boots. I might even get the boots and we'll go play in all the fun parts of Australia, mate. Yeah.
How is the body? Could you play local footy if you wanted to?
Ooh, I reckon I could. When I finished, I was always the little skinny kid. So I tried to get as big as I could. I put on about 10, 15 kilos and then tried to run around for Old Brighton, did my hammy on a warm-up lap, did my calf the first minute of my second game, and then I was done. So, but I'm back to sort of fighting weight now and looking at doing the Melbourne Mara in October. So
not well.
Yeah. What was the furthest distance you ever ran?
Without stopping?
Yeah.
The 2K time trial?
See, that was always me, believe it or not. Like, it really was. And then me and one of my best mates, he had a kid and we sort of drifted apart. And then we said, oh, fuck it, let's just do a Saturday morning to keep me out of trouble on the Friday night. Saturday morning long run. And it's just turned into like a new love for running. Yeah. So,
but I think it's when you don't have to, because I hated training. Like, I could run in the altitude room, but if I was told to do something, I cannot be fucked doing this. But now, and because I was in my head, I was like, I'm a professional athlete. I can eat what I like. I can fucking drink what I like. I don't have to train because I know on Saturdays I'm going to fucking just bust. I'm going to give it absolutely everything I got. Where now I'm like, if I drink what I like, I'm going to be huge. So I was like, now I actually enjoy, like, I like to box and I actually enjoy going to training where, mate, you couldn't get me out of bed for $1 million like when I was planning to go do something extra on a day off. But now I'm like, fuck, I'll squeeze a half an hour run on the tread in now or just some sprint work or.
Isn't it funny? Like, I find it so interesting. Like, I was exactly saying, like, just the fitness side of footy was my biggest dread. Yeah. Like, pre-seasons, I would fucking lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
Like it was, I used to like driving into a fucking running session, I used to think, oh, if I just put the car into a fucking pole here, I can avoid it, you know?
Yeah.
And like,
if I roll my ankle, don't do in the third lap, yeah, like same all the time.
But then you finish up and like you look back on it and you go, fuck, we're just getting paid shitloads to go in and get fit. And like, why did I stress so much about it? But yeah, it, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We had Michael Hibbert in the coterie on.
He's the very pig.
Yeah. Now, is he as funny a man as I think he is?
Oh, he's pretty funny. Yeah, he's wild. But
he was looking forward to enjoying not playing, not having to try to drink as much piss as he could.
Yeah,
yeah, he's one that you'd have to be careful with post footy. Just you know, the blowout sort of. He's one that I'd be a little bit concerned about. But he's one of the great men. Yeah, I roomed with him and Stephen May on Gorney's Bucks, so you can imagine how that went.
Jesus. You okay?
Yeah, well, just recovering now. Yeah. That was 4 years ago. 6 years ago.
Well, you said you had to be done at 9. You've got a golf tournament?
I've got the RCD charity golf day at Victoria. I've got to get to work first because, you know, you got to just show your face.
Swipe your key card, look like you're in there. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Tap the space bar to show them that you're online. But, just got to get in there, show the grind. And
play a lot of golf?
You love my golf. Love the golf.
You got a club?
I'm at Southern at the moment on the waiting list at PK. I actually got blackballed from Royal Melbourne.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Surprise, surprise. Oh,
do tell.
Just a disgruntled Melbourne member, I'd assume.
Was it you, Ralph?
but I was on the waiting list there for 8 years. You finally get your acceptance and your name goes up for 30 days on the board. And if someone, you know, so they can just come and put a mark.
Just one person. All it takes is one person.
One person. They're anonymous.
Does it have to go to trial? Like, do you get to say it?
Nothing.
That's fucked.
I mean, I've probably given him a bit to, you know, work with.
But even so, like, fucking, how are you bothering anyone else? You're Dan Andrews. Like, how are you? Like, which he got banned down port to. But how are you? How is anyone bothered if you're playing around a golf?
Yeah.
Oh, who gives a fuck?
Well, some people have that little in their lifetime that they make.
I know.
I'm so sorry.
It shouldn't be anonymous, and then see how many people.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, should be able to front them and go, mate. What?
I think they're changing.
Have to stand up and say why.
Changing it now, but it's almost a blessing because down at PK you can have a few beers. Peninsula Kings.
The merger. Yeah.
No,
so that's a fantastic course.
Beautiful down there. So hopefully get in there next year.
Good stuff. Well, like I said, as a D supporter, you gave me one of the greatest moments of my life.
Oh, Ralphie.
So you are just gold forever. So I really appreciate you coming in. And apart from the necrophilia bit, I don't think you're fucking great.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.